Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh my goodness. Sue Thomas, it's Thursday. Doesn't that feel good?
It does feel good.
I would say so. We're getting closer to the weekend. The weather is a little bit more mild as well. The Cardinals are playing this afternoon at Busch Stadium, and they're all knotted up in the seventh inning. Last night was actually fun. I can't believe I stuck till the end of the game. Truth be told, Becky and I like ditched out Fred at like the top of the ninth. It was like it was 0-0 at that point, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We watched the second to last episode of Hawk, which is the new golf show that's on with Will Ferrell, which is okay. It's all right, but we're on the season finale. But then that's just like a 25-minute show. So then I'm like, okay, what's going on in baseball? And they were in the 10th inning, and it was right when the Cubs had scored. But I'm like, okay, let's keep going here. You know, what I said to Becky was, this was a team, this is the difference between what we're seeing now and a month ago, is this was a team that you really would never count out late in innings when it was just a couple of runs. And that was a good example like last night. Now, you get the cheater runner on second base, right? Which I hate that too. But it was a good win for the Cardinals. Look, we got a good John Rooney call here, I think. What is that listed under?
Cardinals.
Sometimes the host isn't smart enough to see what's exact. In fairness, this is not in alphabetical order, and sometimes it is, okay? So that's my excuse.
A double, a single tonight for Ivan Herrera. Herrera swings, and he drives that one. It goes to the gap in left center field. The ball gets down. It goes to the wall. We're tied. Walker around third. The throw to the plate. It's a Redbird winner!
That's a great call.
Winner! Light up the night in downtown St. Louis.
Wow.
The Cardinals came back with three in the 10th inning to beat the Cubs. 3-2.
Oh, my God. I love Rooney's call on that. Sounds like it's like playoff victory or something like that. But look, Ethan, you pointed this out. If you could somehow split this series with the Cubs, I'm not talking that we're going to the postseason or anything, but still, that would be an achievement. You just got to get back on track here with the offense, which is what I'd like to see. Tell the audience what happened, though. Sue, you won't believe this, with Lars Nootbaar today.
Oh, God. Yeah, this was not Noot's brightest moment. So there's one out. There's a runner on second base. And a fly ball is hit to the warning track in right field. Nootbaar makes a nice catch. The problem is that he didn't realize that there was only two outs. So, you know, he takes a couple of seconds.
One out.
I'm sorry. Well, at that point, there was two outs now. He just caught it.
Yes, exactly.
So he doesn't realize there's two outs. He starts jogging in. He realizes, only two outs. So he throws it in. And it's a bad throw. It's over the head of just tips the glove of Mason Wynn, the cutoff man, and the Cubs score their tying run in that way, and that is where we stand.
Yeah, unfortunately. The one thing I would say, though, is like Dustin May had a great outing last night, and then Pallante today. I was at the game on Saturday. Fred, that was the game that Pallante pitched.
Right.
He had another. They just pulled him out of the game today, so that was great. So, Sue, this was pretty funny. I'm going to play a little bit more of this later, but I'm gonna shoot John Hewlett a message. I don't want to do it during the game because he's working right now. But I just thought that this was outstanding. I'll just let it play, and then I'll explain why I loved it so much. But just hearing the U-Man say the name of this band last night, this band did Take Me Out to the Ballgame. So you've heard me mention them before. Here we go.
Yeah. We tip the cap to Post-Sex Nachos they lead us in singing Take Me Out to the Ballgame.
So just to hear John Hewlett say Post-Sex Nachos, can you even imagine? But these kids are awesome. I love this band so much. Their new album's coming out next month. They're from St. Louis, all right? So I don't think it's their first time doing this. Their Instagram post indicated they had done it before. But look, I just want to play the beginning of this here.
Cardinals fans, on your feet! Cubs fans, sit down!
Take me out to the ball game.
Well, I won't play the whole thing right now. Plus, I was going to play some of their music, but Ethan, lying down on the job this afternoon, has not put in my Post-Sex Nachos audio. Do you notice that?
You know, my defense is that I didn't expect this to be a monologue subject. This had 404 written all over it, in my opinion. Yeah.
In fairness,
there's my defense.
That was pretty good handicapping. I kind of called an audible here, but since we were talking about the Cardinals, he may have me there just a little bit. I hate it when that happens. It's like when
you prematurely called for this.
Yeah, I could have shut his mic off. That's probably what I should have done. All right, well, this is a big night for the Mark Reardon Show. Huge night.
Yes.
Because Fred's been privileged. He's been invited to Sue's house multiple times for evenings out and, you know, dinners and cocktails and stuff like that.
One time, right, Fred, when your wife was out of town, we said, come on over, Fred.
That's right. It was a mercy visit.
But we have tried to do this. So Dave Klein, we call him producer emeritus, and we miss, I can't even believe I'm admitting this publicly, but we do miss Jane Duker dearly on Fridays when she went to work for Catherine Hanaway. So Sue, who, you know, recently moved into a new house, has been kind of sprucing it up and doing stuff like that. Also kind of relatively newly married. You decided to have the team and the alumni of the show over for a little meal tonight. So you are actually at home making a blueberry pie. We fully support that, by the way. That's good.
I appreciate that.
I like the fact that you're doing that.
Yeah, the pie is done. I'm just kind of just trying to pick up bulldog drool and then from the floor. So it'll be semi-clean, but you know how this is, Mark. You've had a bulldog.
Oh, I know. I do. Will you be dining outside or inside?
Well, I haven't decided.
Oh,
well,
okay.
Really, the table outside is only four, so we got to be in.
Okay. Sue, what can we be expecting tonight?
We will have, I made a...
I'd like to know the menu, too. I don't know
it. Okay, all right. We know there's blueberry pie. I made the crust. I made the pie this morning.
Yeah, we like that.
There will be a corn, tomato, and avocado salad.
Ooh, that sounds good. I like that.
I bought a big thing of Pringles, so we're all going to munch on chips.
Jane's locked in.
Uh-huh. And we're going to grill. We went to, just like we did for Fred, we went over to Schubert's in Millstadt and got a whole different bunch of brats with different stuff in them.
Here we go.
All right.
All right.
And we're
going to be a good night.
Grill all of those and lay them out. It should be good.
Awesome. All right. We're looking forward to that. And that's, you know, you keep preparing and everything. Becky got so mad at me last night.
Why?
She's like, what are you going to bring? I'm like, no, but I had a plan. I had a plan. The plan failed. I told her, I'm like, look, don't worry about it. I got it covered. So Adam Fritz from Fritz's was going to swing by today with some desserts. And I'm like, I'm going to bring, first of all, just so you know, like I was going to bring them anyway to store in your freezer before I went home. Because
Fred,
otherwise,
I'm nodding at you.
Oh, my goodness.
Because otherwise they would have melted. And if I leave them here... Well, we have thieves in the
building. They'll be gone by tomorrow.
I can't trust
them. Wait, so do we really get it or no?
No, because he was sick today and he didn't come by. I just texted him. So he's coming next week. So now I'm coming empty-handed. I just want you, I'm just being honest. I don't know what to. So my wife's going to yell at me. What'd you bring? Well, I brought myself.
That's all okay. I did. That's really okay.
Ethan, did your wife ask you what you're bringing tonight?
Actually, I didn't even tell my wife that I was going, so she doesn't even know.
Hey, great communication.
I don't even think that she knows.
That's a strong marriage foundation to build upon as a newlywed for the most part.
She'll
great,
be gone
great
tonight.
Stuff.
She'll,
yeah,
she
she's
has,
out.
She has practice, you know, dance practice. She's a dance coach, so she won't even be there. So, you know, I don't think
you're
she's
good.
Worried
you're
about
golden. Fred, did you need permission?
Well, I didn't need permission to go, but my wife always asks,
okay,
what are you bringing?
Yeah. And?
Same thing you're bringing, Mark.
Yourself.
Myself.
That's
right.
Now,
that's good.
Listen, that's what I told you to bring, so it's all good.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to it. It's very exciting. What's amazing is that even though I really didn't remember, but when you reminded me earlier this week, I'm like, you know what? Damn it, I think I can still make that because I didn't want to blow the whole thing up because I think I've been the guy that's
blown
also,
it up. We called your bluff on that one, too. Like, Mark, check the schedule right now.
It's all good. We've
Fred
got it taken care
of. Fred and I have gone to these by ourselves because
yes,
you forgot
have.
And Ethan can't go.
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. All right, so let me just kind of lay out the show today. And by the way, let me talk about tomorrow because, look, the election is on Tuesday, the primary. Some of you have already voted, right? Annie told me, did you hear what she said about the poll, Fred?
No.
So she did a poll today on Amendment 5, and there were, you know, about 240 votes, and it was, what was the percentage? It was like relatively high percentage yes votes. Now, that's our audience, right?
Yeah.
And when I was on with Mark and, when Mark and I were on with Annie yesterday, I mean, I'm predicting, the good news for people who want this to pass is, let's face it, I'm wrong about a lot of things when it comes to politics, but I think this thing is not only going to fail, it's going to fail pretty miserably. And you have to realize that it's not just 97.1 FM Talk listeners who are going to vote. But I bring it up because we have an absolutely great panel to take us into Election Day. John Lamping, former state senator, dear friend of mine and of the show, and he's going to be with us on Tuesday night. John and I have handled a lot of election nights, so he's going to analyze on Tuesday night as we kind of take you 7 through about 10 o'clock or so. I think we had Rick Stream, Fred, tell you that, you know, yesterday he said the results will be in about 9:30 final, so we'll probably take it to 10. We got some national races to cover as well. Former state senator Jeff Smith on the panel with John tomorrow. So that's going to be a great roundtable. Then we have all the fun stuff with Paul Hall, with entertainment recommendations. Ethan's going to see Spider-Man tonight. I've seen it already. Paul will have seen it by tomorrow, so it's going to be interesting because,
good.
Sue, I think I told you this. I ran into someone in the hallway yesterday that does the reviews for Glover,
yes.
And she was at the screening, and we had, like, the biggest difference of opinion. Like, I was like, it's okay. It's kind of boring. It's too much. And she's like, it's the best Spider-Man with Tom Holland. I'm like, really? Did we see the same movie? But so I'll see what Ethan thinks because I think you're a little bit more geeked up about this stuff. I'm a little bit more engulfed
in the right. MCU, so maybe that will have something to do with it. But then also, Mark, what are we also both going to see this weekend?
I don't know. What are we both going to see this weekend?
We're
going to
see The Odyssey.
Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I'm going on Saturday afternoon.
I'm going on Sunday morning.
That's going to be great. So we'll talk about that on Monday. But Cusimano will be here taking us into the weekend. The Cardinals are going to head off to Toronto after today. And then they got the Yankees. So things do not get easier. Brian Kilmeade will be here tomorrow afternoon at 5 o'clock. And then comedian TJ Miller. I've had TJ in before. I will say this. I've said this before. Comedians are tough interviews. I like TJ. You know, he's got some things in his background that, you know, people have complained about. I went to his show the last time he was in town, Fred. I think that was the show that Tim Convy warmed up for, actually. And I could be wrong about that, but TJ was really funny.
He's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I think he's really funny, too. So that's tomorrow afternoon. This afternoon, after we get with Stuart Smith here in a couple of minutes about the DSA, the Democrat Socialist, Paul Morrow has some great takes, not only on Mamdani, and he's essentially doxing his wealthy homeowners in New York City, but also on the situation with Dr. Fauci yesterday. David Zweig is going to be great on that. He wrote this book, An Abundance of Caution, so he's going to weigh in on that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We have Charles Lipson. And then Steve Butt, state rep. We've kind of taken Steve off the roundtable the last couple of weeks because I like to give a little separation between, you know, Election Day and particular visits on the roundtable when you're running. And Steve's, you know, running for the 4th District State Senate seat against former state rep Gina Mitten. It's a tough, tough race. And there's still money being poured into it. There's new commercials and everything. So we'll cover that, plus an audio cut of the day. But Stuart Smith talking about the DSA crazies, including Cory Bush. Hey, we got Paul Morrow coming up here at 3:30, Fox News contributor. He is the founder of theopsdesk.org. We'll talk a little bit about Mamdani doxing wealthy homeowners and some stuff related to Dr. Fauci as well. That's coming up in just a little bit. Stu Smith is with us, investigative analyst at the City Journal and the Manhattan Institute. He has written about the Democrat Socialists of America. We have one of those candidates here in St. Louis with Cory Bush, who's getting DSA support. Stu, how are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, happy to be here and happy to talk about the DSA.
Las Vegas was built for stars.
Here we go.
And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, let me play a little audio here. I think this was a conference call.
When we win in Missouri, when we win in Michigan, and when we win in Florida, it is going to show there is not a single district in this country where Democratic Socialists can not only compete, but can win.
We're going to tear it down, and I can't do this without you. So that's what it's about. DSA, let's go win this.
Democrats are failing to do some of the things that Democratic Socialists are doing, and especially in places like swing states or swing districts. I think there's a really good case that Democratic Socialists are actually the better option to take out Republicans because of the fact that we're fighting for these things, even if the label might seem a little bit scarier at first.
So, Stu, I saw some polling today with Democrats, and it was shocking and stunning and really sad and disappointing how many Democrats would even think about supporting a DSA candidate. Now, I mentioned Cori Bush here. I'm actually kind of rooting for her just because the votes aren't going to be much different than Wesley Bell, and she's the gift that keeps on giving, and maybe her nonsense exposes more of this to the American people. Or is that a dangerous, you know, philosophy on my part?
Well, I think whenever we talk about the DSA, like you said, they do have massive favorability compared to the standard Democrats. And I think a lot of that goes into the fact that when we think about DSA, a lot of people just think elections. But DSA is involved with union work, labor, where they will do something called salting, so getting jobs there so they can organize. All manner of kinds of activism, from anti-ICE to targeting like the F-35 supply chain. And, you know, and even in smaller cities like in Wilmington, North Carolina, they're in the middle of a fight right now about the DSA illegally doing benches all across the city at bus stops. But when they do something like that, like, hey, we just want to give you all a bench or change out your headlights, those are things that are almost apolitical, where it's like DSA is framing it as mutual aid. But people remember things like that. And that kind of contributes to the positive favorability because they're in the fight on almost like a minutia level sometimes.
So are there, because you wrote about this a couple weeks ago and you were kind of focusing on the organizations, you know, getting together and trying to figure out a presidential candidate. But are there different factions of the DSA in your opinion?
Yes. So I think the easiest way to kind of think about it is that DSA has two heads. One head is really focused on winning elections and taking over legacy institutions. So like taking over the UAW or, you know, fighting in these closely contested primaries. The other head of DSA is really the movement head. And they like to do all kinds of more radical organizing, really pushing the limit of what is really legally even allowable. And they are really kind of guided by what I would call this kind of third world revolutionary Marxist-Leninist belief system. So like a lot of people aren't aware that a very slight majority of DSA's national leadership, like 52% if we round up, is actually communist. Like, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I think, you know, when we see young people get excited about DSA, like the hot girls for Zoran, they might not be fully aware that there are actual Maoists in DSA. St. Louis is actually home to one of DSA's most infamous personalities, one Christopher Winston, known by his online moniker, Black Red Guard, who is a legit Maoist.
Yeah, I think that I'm not dialed into that, so I was unaware of our St. Louis roots with some of this. When I mentioned Cori Bush, I don't know if you've thought about that race or if you've talked to anyone about it. All the experts around here, because Wesley Bell, who's the incumbent, would be the favorite, I think, at this point. But when I say to the people in the know, is it possible that Cori wins this election? They all say, yeah, because of what happened in New York and Colorado and some of these other places, you have to at least give her a shot, I think, which is, you know, again, I kind of jokingly say I wish she would come back. She's terrible for the country. She's terrible for the region. But she's just such a clown show. Maybe, you know, people see how much nonsense this is and turn in the other direction. But going back to that poll, I mean, you're talking about, maybe this is younger people driving this, but you're talking about a lot of people in the Democrat Party that think that this is somewhat okay. And it's, I can't believe that the, you know, the polling is that high from Democrats. I guess that's TDS related too, maybe.
Yeah, I think a lot of things factor into it, but I think
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
There is just this kind of widespread belief that the Democratic Party is not as effective as it used to be. And they see the energy, the movement, even like being able to put these central casting candidates out there that the DSA does as winning. And I think some people are willing to kind of think that these younger candidates will grow out of this. I don't think so. I mean, you have seen someone like AOC maybe moderate a little bit here and there and have friction with the DSA after coming out of New York City DSA. But, you know, it's really just concerning to see. But like, a good example of this, you know, that clip you just played, that was a call where they were doing phone banking for Cori Bush. So like last night, it was a national call to go out and support Cori Bush.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of work that I don't think some people realize is going on, where you have a bunch of young people who just care about the DSA, who are willing to spend, you know, 2 hours of their night, you know, calling and drumming up support for her.
Well, that's why you got to give her a chance, right? I mean, unfortunately, yeah. I think that there's an undercurrent there. There's no doubt about it. You mentioned AOC. When that meeting took place a couple of weeks ago, I mean, they're trying to come together, or are they on a presidential candidate, and is she their choice right now?
So within the kind of like reform-minded part of DSA, she is most definitely the choice, and they really want her New York City DSA, which is the largest DSA chapter, you know, super wants her, and even almost like threatened to secede from national DSA if they didn't, you know, pretty much agree to back her. But there are people who think if DSA backed AOC, that that would maybe send the organization into more of a moderate direction, which is what they don't want.
Yeah, exactly.
So that speaks to this kind of tension that really does exist within DSA of radicals versus these more, you know, definitely socialists, but maybe not as willing to get behind some of the more radical agenda items, like truly abolishing the police, even though that's now made it onto the national platform.
Yeah, abolishing the Senate, doing some other things. I mean, some of this stuff is nuts. Stu Smith, thank you for writing about this. We'll see what happens with Corey a week from, not even a week, it's like 5 days away from now when we vote on Tuesday, so it's getting real close. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Stu. I appreciate coming on. Our friend Paul Morrow back with us this afternoon, Fox News contributor. He is the founder of theopsdesk.org, which is a great website, great newsletter that comes along with it. Hello, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I want to start with this because I know I've seen some of your activity on X, former Twitter today, but this thing with Spain is just crazy, isn't it? This is a part of Africa. I guess it's a territory that's in... or near Morocco. It's at the southern tip, the southwestern tip of Spain. I heard someone on Fox earlier say, I think it was Jason Chaffetz, tell Bill Malusian, this looks like what we were seeing from Bill a couple years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. And it's a little scary, man. And I hope that Spain wakes up here. Now, I was in Spain not that long ago, a couple of years.
Me too.
And I didn't see any evidence of this kind of thing. I'd heard that, they got a migrant issue. But I came back thinking, well, maybe it's a little bit overblown. Now, I wasn't down in the Costa del Sol or anything like that. But that said, there's, you know, thank God there's video, because we would be told, frankly, it's not happening. And they have a very leftist president who seems to delight in tweaking America these days. And I think that, you know, this idea of, remember, they are Marxists, these folks. They don't call themselves that publicly, but we all know what's behind the curtain. And from their perspective, there are no nations. This is the proletariat arriving for some fun. And this is all part of the erasure of borders and a classless and borderless and nationless society that is supposed to arrive at some point, but which, of course, always just recedes into the distance.
You know, and I you mentioned you were in Spain. I was there a couple of years ago, too, and I lived there for a very, very brief time in 1983, and I've been in contact with the family on a regular basis, especially because of the World Cup, because I was, you know, rooting for Spain.
Oh, sure,
Because of the team that I'm contacted with or in connection with in Valencia. But they, you know, when I was there and even talking about some of the stuff a couple of years ago, they were not crazy about their government then. And you know what's funny, Paul? I've said this a couple of times. When I talked to those Europeans a couple of years ago, and I was in Greece as well, some of those folks over there, they have a deeper appreciation for our freedom than some of the left-wing lunatics here in this country.
That's exactly right. You know, you'll get people, but, you know, it's such a shame. It's like a conservative underground. You know, it's like the Christians in the Bible that had to hide from the Romans, because they will quietly, and I mean quietly, tell you how much they appreciate American exceptionalism, exceptionalism and leadership. And they'll tell you, don't listen to our media. You know, we all know what you guys represent. And they'll say to you, you know, sometimes we don't like what Trump says and how he says it, but we get what's going on. And thank God for the guy, and thank God for America. I think a German tourist during the World Cup really summed it up best. He said, if you want to hate America, listen to the media. You want to love it, drive through it.
Yep, that was great stuff when we saw some of the Europeans posting a couple of weeks ago. All right, Dr. Fauci, let me take you there. I mean, I was seething with anger about two things yesterday. One, and this is a topic I've been talking about, those two young girls that were brought to tears by the co-owner of the Seattle Storm. And then this Fauci stuff, because it brings back all of the masking, the, you know, nonsense of not being able to go to the beach, all that stuff, Paul. You had to be a victim of a lot of that, a lot worse in New York City. But what do you think, if anything, is going to be a consequence for Anthony Fauci after that hearing yesterday?
Well, he's 85, and I don't like making a martyr out of him and locking him up. I really don't. I know that's not necessarily popular on the right. They want his comeuppance and so on and so forth. I think that to continue to expose him is really the key. But because at this stage of his life, what's he about? He's about legacy.
Yeah.
He wants money, of course, because he wants his waiting years here to be as comfortable as possible. He looks to be in pretty good shape. But he also, you know, he's about reputation. And I think that the destruction of his reputation by truth, not to disparage the guy, but to expose him, is the most important thing. And here's why, Mark. I have two macro points on this. Number one, we didn't hear Chairman Xi's name like once in these hearings yesterday. And to me, that is the biggest tragedy, because Anthony Fauci may have been complicit, maybe not. My read is that he was involved in gain-of-function funding, likely inadvertent. I don't think even Fauci, out of his own hubris, would have cognizantly funded some crazy virus that could escape,
right,
or allow it to escape. I just don't buy that. I do think he was part and parcel of the naivete that obtains these days in our scientific and medical communities. So I think that's there. But the real culprit here, from where I sit, is Chairman Xi and the People's Republic of China, my opinion, are guilty of 22 million counts of manslaughter. And that is to say, reckless homicide. Because I don't understand why, let's say, entities like the ICC, who want to lock up Bibi Netanyahu and indicted Vladimir Putin, who I'm no fan of either, has let the Chinese Wuhan lab slide on the fact that their protocols, while they were developing, while they were weaponizing a virus, was so poor. Their safety protocols were so poor that they let this thing out, and 22 million people globally lost their lives. If that had been America, we would hear nothing but how America owes the world and how are we going to pay the medical bills for everybody for the rest of all of our lives.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt.
So to me, that's the issue right there. We should be using this to expose China, because that's the much bigger equity, and change the narrative, because they controlled it. And they all told us this is all anti-China's. You know, they know what buttons to push. They're very canny with it. And they cried racism.
Yeah.
This is anti-Asian bias. This is racism. And then, of course, the global media cows buckles under, because all you got to do is say the R word and everybody runs for the hills. The other thing relative to Fauci, just to close the loop on this, because I want to get this out. They should arrest him.
Yeah.
They should arrest him federally. And here's why. He's going to claim, oh, no, I got immunity. I talked to the president. I've got immunity. Hey, listen, pal. We don't buy it. We don't buy the auto pen immunity that you got, the auto pen pardon. We don't think it was cognizantly, voluntarily, and intelligently given. And use the Fauci case, the arrest. Let him out. Let him out on bail. Don't make him a martyr. Make him the case that you use to adjudicate and explore, under the auspices of DOJ, the auto pen. Because that's never come to light. And I can guarantee you, you heard those tapes of Biden, which are from 10 years before he was president, by the way. That was when he was trying to write his autobiography with a ghostwriter when he was vice president. The guy couldn't form two words. Now, get that exposure out there relative to the auto pen, because it's going to fall apart. That means that Fauci's pardon is not valid. And then that makes the arrest stick.
Paul Morrow's back with us, Stephanie. One of the most frustrating parts of this, and there's two things that I don't understand. I don't think there should be any partisanship when it comes to exposing fraud in the government. Why that's a partisan issue, I don't know. And on Dr. Fauci, I mean, here's what I saw with my lefty friends, of which I have many, on Facebook and on the X, Paul. They don't buy for a minute that Dr. Fauci did anything wrong. He's a hero to them. He's like someone who saved all these lives. But why can't we have, I don't think it's possible anymore, have a conversation about some of these things that are pretty serious about the learning loss. Look, I have David Zweig on my show in about an hour. He wrote a great book, as you probably know, An Abundance of Caution, about all the things that happen to kids. And I don't understand why we can't have, Dana Bash on CNN made a bigger deal out of Bernie Moreno dropping an F-bomb during that hearing than anything that was related to the damage that Dr. Fauci and some of his cohorts inflicted on this country. It's just unbelievable.
Well, now they'll never cop to it because it exposes them as co-conspirators. At the time, you got to say to yourself, why? What was the motive for them to create this monstrosity that was the cult of personality under Fauci? And Robert Fauci was the head. He wasn't even the head of the CDC. He was the head of an element under the CDC. He just created this role for himself and ran to it. The media picked it up and it became a fait accompli. So why? Why did they do that? Two reasons. Number one, it allowed control. That's always the thing, right? It was a way to get power, especially when Biden came in. It was a way to just increase the power that they had over all of us to tell us to stay home. We will feed you what information you need. They'd have us locked down still if they could. The second thing, though, was that it damaged. Listen, it's no joke. I mean, I see people walking around in my nutbag New York City neighborhood who still are masked up or wearing two N95 masks. There were people during COVID in my neighborhood walking around in moon suits. I'm not kidding you. In like level one Kevlar suits, you know, as if they were going into a nuclear hot zone. So yeah, there's no end to the lunacy here. But the other thing is that they wanted to damage Trump, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And so this was a lever against Trump. And so now to expect the media to come around and have a come to Jesus moment and say, yeah, you know, Fauci, bad guy, even though we made him a saint on earth, they're never going to do it because it would be admitting that they were wrong. And remember, this is the party that won't even turn up for hearings. This is the party that is trying to put in an anti-Nick Shirley law in California because he's exposing so much fraud, and they don't want him doing that. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, well, they don't want independent journalism because the regular journalism is so broken. That's why we have to depend on guys like Nick Shirley. Okay, we're running long in the tooth here, but I have to have you touch on this thing with Mamdani. I read Alex Berenson's column yesterday about his mom, who owns a home there that's worth, you know, a fair amount of money. They've owned it for 50 years or something like that. She's getting hit with a $55,000 tax bill and has to prove that she's a primary resident of New York City, which Alex says that she is. But Mamdani is actually going out there and putting a list of these people out there publicly?
Yeah, he did. He published a list, which to me would, you know, look, the home ownership property records in New York City are public. That's longstanding. But as you, first of all, it shows the priorities. He took the time out to compile that list and publicly try to name and shame people. It's total class warfare. But it's going to boomerang back on him because he's getting into harassment territory. And he's got now a lawsuit from the New York City landlords that is being led by probably the best lawyer in the country, a guy named Randy Mastro. And if you'll allow me a plug, I'm going to be interviewing Randy on the Ops Desk, my forum online.
Right.
And, you know, on the podcast about this lawsuit. And let me tell you, there's one guy on earth that wouldn't want to pose to me. It's this character. And he's a Democrat, by the way. He served in the Eric Adams administration. So, you know, he's not a partisan guy. But the bottom line is Mamdani is creating what I believe is getting very close to a harassment situation. And let's remember something else. Mamdani himself, his family, owns a luxury compound in Uganda.
I know.
So, you know,
I've seen that
he's
exposed.
He's vilifying people. It's amazing. You know, who the heck is he to do this?
It's ridiculous. All right. I only have 60 seconds. It's unfair. But we haven't spoken since the Koberger thing came up. What's the angle there for him, and what do you think happens?
Wait, what thing?
I'm the Koberger, withdrawing the plea.
That is a simple one. Koberger realized I'm in jail for the rest of my life. This is it. He's a narcissist and a maniac. He wants, if nothing else, just one day out of jail to go to a hearing so we can maybe get a decent meal. But I think it's just about attention. He's a narcissist. It's another way for him to twist the families to get the spotlight back on him. Totally going to fail. I will say this one nuance just to close this out. I don't understand why when they did the plea deal, that I get the plea deal. Some of the families wanted it. There's always reasons not to go to trial. Why they did not make him allocute on the record. That is to say, stand up in court and give the details of what he did and how he did it. Because had he done that, it would be next to impossible for him to repudiate the plea deal. Now, if he said, I did this, that, and the other thing, and I threw the knife in a lake, how are you going to say now I didn't do it? I don't understand that. I said it at the time. I didn't understand it. I continue not to. That's the only flaw I see in that case. But this is all wind. He'll die in jail, and it's all he deserves.
I remember talking about that, though, at the time, and I can't believe that was a year ago. Paul, always excellent. Theopsdesk.org. Check it out. You have a great weekend. We'll talk soon. Well, we got Sue's News on a Thursday coming up here in a very short time. I'm going to go over some of the stuff that is related to what happened at the Seattle Storm game the other night with those two young women who were just simply showing support to Sophie Cunningham. The co-owner who berated those girls has been suspended and fined. So that's an interesting development. Earlier today, Annie did a poll on Amendment 5, and I think it was like 66% of people said yes, and it was a pretty good sample, too. It was close to 300 people. Now, I was on with her and Mark Cox yesterday. We kind of broke down some of these amendments. Mr. Cox and I have a bit of a disagreement on whether or not this thing is going to pass or fail, and there are very few things that I'm confident about. Because it's tricky in politics, and I've made political predictions that have gone awry. Remember the big red wave from a couple years ago, and that was more like a trickle. That's why I don't, you know, count Cori Bush out just because weird things happen in politics. But I'll give you an example of why Amendment 5 is going to fail so miserably. You have a Senate district. It's Senate District 6. We're going to talk with Steve Butts here in a couple of hours about his Senate race. But this is a race that represents Camden, Cole, Miller, Monoton, Morgan counties. There is a guy by the name of Rudy Veit who is running for this against, I think the main competitor is Jake Vogel. And I'm going to play something here. First of all, a couple things about what I'm about to play to you. This is kind of crazy because this ad was simply done by AI and they wrote a country song. It's a pretty good song. I don't know what production houses who do political commercials are going to do because AI is going to really put them out of business. But I'll make the case for Amendment 5 failing miserably because Rudy Veit's campaign released this radio ad that hits Jake Vogel because Jake Vogel supports Amendment 5. So think about the dynamics there. You have two Republicans that are running. There is a Republican that is so confident that Amendment 5 is going down that he's using another Republican's support for repealing the income tax, phasing out the income tax. That's a pretty conservative idea. But he's using an ad to say, vote no on Jake Vogel because he supports Amendment 5. Here's the AI-created commercial. The video aspects of this are actually pretty good.
Well, gather around and I'll tell your friends about a fella named Jake Vogel and where he stands. Siding with the insiders down in Jeff City. Handing them a blank check. Now ain't that a pity. Vogel's a no-go, no-go, no-go.
It's got a... Yes, what a nice melody here.
It's a no for me. Vogel's a no-go, no-go, no-go. Keep your hands off my money. Let the people be free. He's on the record.
That's the thing that's kind of confusing to me because repealing the tax, Missouri state income tax, would seemingly keep people the ability to have more of their money, but not this ad. Doesn't say that.
To Bill. Now that's just rude. Vogel's a no-go, no-go, no-go. Keep your hands off my money. Let the people be free. Vote no on Jake Vogel.
There you go.
Woo! On Tuesday, August 4th, vote no on Jake Vogel.
Okay, Rudy, you owe us some money for me airing that completely free here on the show. But that's quite fascinating to me that you'd have a Republican who seemingly would be for, you know, phasing out the income tax, making the case against another Republican that that's actually going to raise taxes on people because you have people out there lying about this constantly. I saw a post, sometimes I can't help myself. I saw someone who I've interacted with over the years on Facebook post a little bit of a flyer about Amendment 5. And, you know, it claims it's going to triple the sales tax. Nothing of the sort is going to happen. And by the way, like if you study this issue, I would suggest, and this is what I told people yesterday when I was on Annie's show, do the math. Pull out a pay stub. Look at your, you know, W-2. See how much state tax you paid last year. Even if you're a retiree, you likely paid state income tax. Crunch the numbers. With a little bit more in sales tax on some services, not real estate, not health care, not a lot of other things, would that really put you in a disadvantaged place financially, or would you come ahead of the game? I think for most people, if they take the time to do the math, think about it this way. If you were writing a check like you have to do for your personal property taxes, what would that check be at the end of the year? Because I know it's, you know, maybe not as much every paycheck. You start to add that up. And can you possibly pay sales tax that exceeds that amount? Do some math. See what you, you know, decide. Vote whatever way you'd like. It's going to fail. It's almost a moot point.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and, in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.